Isaiah 22:1-24. This message came to me concerning Jerusalem, the valley of vision. What is happening? Why is everyone running to the rooftops? The whole city is in a terrible uproar. What do I see in this reveling city? Bodies are lying everywhere, killed not in battle, but by famine and disease. All your leaders have fled. They surrendered without resistance. The people tried to slip away, but they were captured too. That's why I said, leave me alone to weep. Do not try to comfort me. Let me cry for my people as I watch them being destroyed. Oh, what a day of crushing defeat. What a day of confusion and terror brought by the Lord of heaven's armies. Upon the valley of vision, the walls of Jerusalem have been broken. The cries of death echo from the mountainsides. Elamites are the archers with their chariots and charioteers. The men of Kir hold up the shields. Chariots fill your beautiful valleys, and charioteers storm your gates. Judah's defenses have been stripped away. You run to the army for your weapons. You inspect the breaks in the walls of Jerusalem. You store up water in the lower pool. You survey the houses and tear down some for stone to strengthen the walls. Between the city walls, you build a reservoir for water from the old pool. But you never ask for help from the one who did all this. You never considered the one who planned this long ago. At that time, the Lord of heaven's armies, called you to weep and mourn. He told you to shave your heads in sorrow for your sins and to wear clothes of burlap to show your remorse. But instead, you dance and play. You slaughter cattle, kill sheep, feast on meat, drink wine, and say, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Lord of heaven's armies has revealed this to me. Till the day you die, you will never be forgiven for this sin. That is the judgment of the Lord of heaven's armies. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies said to me. Confront Shebna, the palace administrator, and give him this message. Who do you think you are, and what do you think you're doing here? Building a beautiful tomb for yourself, a monument high upon the rock? For the Lord is about to hurl you away, mighty man. He's going to grab you, crumple you into a ball, and toss you away into a distant barren land. There you will die, and your glorious chariots will be broken and useless. You are a disgrace to your master. Yes, I will drive you out of office, says the Lord. I will pull you down from your high position, and then I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, to replace you. I will dress him in your royal robes, and will give him your title and your authority. And he will be a father to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest possible position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. He will bring honor to his family name. I will drive him firmly from in place like a nail in the wall. They will give him great responsibility, and he will bring honor to even the lowliest members of his family. But the Lord of heaven's armies also says, the time will come when I will pull out the nail that seems so firm. It will come out and fall to the ground. Everything it supports will fall. I, the Lord, have spoken. This message came to me concerning Tyre. Weep, O ships of Tarsus, for the harbor and the houses of Tyre are gone. The rumors you heard in Cyprus are all true. Mourn in silence, you people of the coast and you merchants of Sidon. Your traders crossed the sea, sailing over deep waters. They brought you grain from Egypt and harvest from the Nile. You were the marketplace of the world, but now you are put to shame, city of Sidon. For Tyre, the fortress of the sea, says, now I am childless. I have no sons or daughters. When Egypt hears the news about Tyre, they will be in great sorrow. Send word now to Tarshish. Well, you people who live in distant lands, is this silent ruin all that is left of your once joyous city? What a long history was yours. Think of all the colonists you sent to distant places. Who has brought this disaster on Tyre, the great creator of kingdoms? Your traders were all princes, her merchants and nobles. The Lord of Heaven's armies has done it to destroy your pride and bring low all the earth's nobility. Come, people of Tarsus, sweep over the land like the flooding Nile, for Tyre is defenseless. The Lord held out his hand over the sea and took the kingdoms of the earth. He has spoken against Phoenicia, ordering that her fortresses be destroyed. He says, never again will you rejoice, O daughter of Sidon, for you have been crushed. Even if you flee to the Cyprus, you will find no rest. Look at the land of Babylonia. The people of the land are gone. The Assyrians have handed Babylon over to the wild animals of the desert. They have built siege camps against its walls, sworn down its palaces, and turned it into a heap of rubble. Wail, O ships of Tarsus, for your harbor is destroyed. For 70 years, the length of a king's life, Tyre will be forgotten. But then the city will come back to life, as in the song about the prostitute. Take a harp and walk the streets, you forgotten harlot. Make sweet melody and sing your songs, so you will be remembered again. Yes, for 70 years the Lord will revive Tyre, but she will be no different than she was before. She will again be a prostitute to all kingdoms around the world. But in the end, her profits will be given to the Lord. Her wealth will not be hoarded, but will provide good food and fine clothing for the Lord's priests. Chapter 24. Look, the Lord is about to destroy the earth and make it a vast wasteland. He devastates the surface of the earth and scatters the people, priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids and mistresses, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors. No one will be spared. The earth will be completely emptied and looted. The Lord has spoken. The earth mourns and dries up, and the crops waste away and wither. Even the greatest people on earth waste away. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted God's instruction, violated his laws, and broken his everlasting covenant. Before a curse consumes the earth, its people must pay the price for their sin. They are destroyed by fire, and only a few are left alive. The grapevines waste away, and there is no new wine. All the merrymakers sigh and mourn. The cheerful sound of tambourines is stilled. The happy cries of celebration are heard no more. The melodious chords of the harp are silent. Gone are the joys of wine and song. Alcoholic drink turns bitter in the mouth. The city rises in chaos. Every home is locked to keep out intruders. Mobs gather in the streets crying out for wine. Joy has turned to gloom. Gladness has been banished from the land. The city is left in ruins, its gates battered down. Throughout the earth, the story is the same. Only a remnant is left, like the stray olives left on the tree, or the few grapes left on the vine after harvest. But all who are left shout and sing for joy, those in the west. Praise the Lord's majesty. In the eastern lands, they give glory to the Lord. In the lands beyond the sea, praise the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. We hear songs of praise from the ends of the earth, songs that give glory to the righteous one. But my heart is heavy with grief. Weep for me, for I wither away. Deceit still prevails, and treachery is everywhere. Terror, traps, and snares will be your lot, you people of the earth. Those who flee in terror will fall into a trap. Those who escape the trap will be caught in a snare. Destruction falls like rain from heavens. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth was broken up. It utterly collapsed. It is violently shaken. Your stagger is like a drunk trembling from a tent in a storm. It falls and will not rise again, for the guilt of its rebellion is very heavy. In that day the Lord will punish the gods in the heavens and the proud rulers of the nations on earth. They will be rounded up and put in prison. They will be shut up in prison and will finally be punished. Then the glory of the moon will wane and the brightness of the sun will fade. For the Lord of Heaven's armies will rule on Mount Zion. He will rule in great glory in Jerusalem, in the sight of all the leaders of the people. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 3:9. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. But when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me, so I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed in the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put faith in God. What's more, the Scriptures look forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ will share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. My child, if your heart is wise, my own heart will rejoice. Everything in me will celebrate when you speak what is right.